Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Las Blancas Podcast. I'm your host, Yash Thakur. And today, we are here to discuss Real Madrid's final league game of the 2022-23 season. And well, depends on what you think about the season. It's over, at least in the league. We still have a very important cup game remaining. We are in the Copa de la Reina semi-finals against Athletic Club. That will be the next game. And if we win that, we have a shot at a trophy, at winning a trophy this season, which is a big, big thing. So this game was like the final dress rehearsal for the semi-finals. And coming into this game since the international break in April, we know things have looked very strange with the team. They've looked like there is a power battle between what the manager wants and what the players that are running down their contract are negotiating for. It feels like this weird sort of power play from the manager at times. And we've discussed this. The lineups have been weird. The performances have been really, really shaky. And it was more of the same in this game. In fact, I would say that we got absolutely dominated for large parts of this game against Real Sociedad. And let's get into this. We did not lose the game again. Like, result wise, it never goes wrong for us somehow, because if the performances started reflecting on the score sheet, I think we would be looking a lot worse than we do. But fortunately for us, results do go our way. We managed to pull something out, even a moment of magic, even when we are getting dominated. And we somehow survived. So it was the same case for this game against Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad came into this game with a clear plan. And they managed to exploit us really well in this game. They pressed us really high. They managed to recover the ball really well. And even though their season has not gone in the best possible way, because you have to remember, last season this was the team that made the Champions League playoffs. They were the side that gave a very good impression of themselves against Bayern Munich. And, you know, they came close to even making into the group stages. Who knows what could have happened. But they gave a very good impression of themselves last season. But this season, it wasn't the same. They didn't have a good start. They struggled. There was a lot of shake-up about, you know, manager trying to fix those things by making some changes, and it was not working a lot. Coming into this game as well, it wasn't like the best run of form they were in or anything. They had not won any of their previous three games coming into this fixture. So it on the surface, it looked like Real Madrid should be all right. But if you have watched our performances ever since the international break, you knew that everything is going to be tricky for this team right now. So, and it was the same case. They came and they caused us a lot of problems here. So we'll get into all of that. We'll break down the tactical details and we'll break down some key moments in the game. But before that, to do all of that, I've got Kanita with me. Kanita, how are you doing today?
Well, exhausted, tired, everything. At least this league campaign is over. Like officially, even though the last two games we weren't actually playing for anything because we already knew we would end up second. But yeah, just tiring. It was a game that was very hard to watch for multiple reasons. We'll talk about it probably. Go on a few rants. But yeah, game itself and then the technical difficulties and then the emotional side of it and everything. Very, very hard game to watch. So I am actually exhausted from it. But yeah, this league campaign is over, so no more of it this year.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, not just because of the bad football at times or us getting dominated. It was quite literally hard to watch. The first 7 minutes of the game are actually lost. We don't know what happened in the first 7 minutes of the game. And even beyond that point, until the 20th, 25th minute mark, I would say, the quality of the stream was so bad. Like, it was really, really bad. If you even had the resolution on YouTube at 720p, it looked like it was 360 at max. And it looked like it was being shot from a potato or something. It was really bad. And even in the past, we have seen Real Sociedad have the worst sort of camera viewing angles on their stadium. It's just not a pleasurable experience to watch that side on a regular. I don't mean about the football, like they play some really good stuff, but it's like literally hard to watch because they got some issues with the cameras and everything. So yeah, 7 lost minutes of the game. We resume the game, but before we get into this, Let's just go through the lineups because, oh boy, once again, host of changes. Yeah, it's the final game, we get it. You want to play players that haven't played much and everything. But this isn't our final game of the season. This is the final game of the league campaign, but this isn't the final game of the season for us. In fact, this is the last game before we play probably the most important game that could define how we view this season in hindsight. So it was basically the final dress rehearsal for that. And what did we do? We made a lot of changes once again from the previous game. So in this game, it was a 4-2-3-1. Unlike the back three against Levante, where we absolutely struggled and then shifted to a back four later on to compensate for it. But here we started off with a 4-2-3-1, the typical formation that we usually use in most of our games. But it had a different look to it. There were a lot of rotation. So Melin started in goal. Misa was rested. Lucia started at right back, which was the biggest surprise for me because I was not expecting that. Rocio and Sousa formed the center back pairing. Olga at left back. The double pivot consisted of Tere and Zornosa. Zornosa returning from injury back into the lineup again because, she is important to the side and her return gives us a big boost. So she was instantly back into the lineup. I feel like Toletti had good games in the past. So I would have still gone with Toletti probably because Toletti adds that a bit of steel in the midfield where, you know, she compensates for a lot of little things on the pitch. But that's fine. The front four was really interesting. Atenea started the game. And the rest of the front row looked like Maite Oroz in the number 10 role. So no Caroline Weir. On left wing, no Linda Caicedo, no Naomi Feller. But instead, Caroline Møller Hansen with yet another start. So a player that did not start, that had only one start or two start before the international break in April, has got like three starts after it in five games or whatever. And that's a bit of a shocker, because it raises a question for me. Like, if you liked the player that much from the start, you would have probably used her a lot more than you did before the international break. Coming business end of the season, you making a change, you putting out your, probably one of the pillars of your side in Esther out, and bring in a player who, I don't know what is going on behind the scenes with the contract situation, but you bring in a player that has a more assured future probably in place of a player who is still negotiating a deal, and we don't know if she'll be here, even though you built your team completely around that player's on and off ball performance, I think is a bit strange, and we have spoken about this before as well. Leading the line was Naikari, who was playing against her former side, just like Lucia. So a pretty emotional game for her, and she was in the lineup after 2 months, if I'm not wrong, after 2 months of not being a starter, she was back into the lineup again. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have cared about this lineup if there wasn't a Copa de la Reina semi-final waiting for us in 3 days. I wouldn't have cared. But with that in mind, like, that is the only thing that matters right now, because we had the second place in the league secured already. All that was remaining is we needed to somehow build momentum until that semi-final and win that game, because you know, it gives us a very real shot at trophy with Barcelona out of the picture. I viewed all those games following the international break as a dress rehearsal with your, you know, preferred 11 right before that semi-final clash. But that hasn't happened, and it's really strange for me. I don't know. I can't understand. I can't wrap my head around the thinking that goes into it, but it is what it is, I guess. And before I hand it over to you, Kanita, I'll just quickly go through Real Sociedad's lineup as well. So they were in a 4-3-3. They had Jensen leading the line, Amayur on the right wing, Sonny Francie on the left. And a midfield three consisted of Andrea Jacinto, Gilly and Nerea. The back four consisted of right back Poliak. I'm not going to try to pronounce the right center back's name. I'm sorry about that. Vanegas as the left center back, and Sarasola as the left back, and Paralete as the goalkeeper. So it was a pretty standard lineup for them, and we'll discuss how they play and everything. But what did you make of our lineup, and what were your thoughts on the changes, and just a brief overview before we get into the game and talk about how the first half panned out?
First of all, the right center back's name is Echesareta. So yeah, and about our lineup. Well, this lineup was exactly what I was fearing. The thing is that two surprising players in the lineup, Lucia and Naikari, weren't even that surprising, because they gave an interview for Real Madrid TV a couple of days before the game. So, you know, we could assume that they would play and they would possibly start as well. You know, knowing that, I was really concerned about the rest of the lineup. Because the day before we got the, well, before the game, we got the squad list, Yeah, the squad list was interesting because he left four players in Madrid resting. Toletti, Weir, Feller, and Kenti, plus Ivana, who was suspended. So those five were missing from the squad list, and we had three academy players there too, and Malin was back in the squad as well. So looking at that, I was very, very scared for this exact lineup, and my worries, well, I was right, unfortunately. Sadly for me, I still had hope that by seeing Linda on the squad list, that, you know, he might actually start her with Naikari if he already wanted to play her after, yes, 2 months, exactly 2 months. I cannot stress this enough how bad the 2 months of not playing for her are. But, you know, I'll get to the rant later. Don't worry. We'll get to that. I was very scared Linda wasn't going to start, and she didn't start. Naikari started with Mila. And as soon as I saw the lineup sheet, I knew that, Mila would be, like, dropping back, would be more of, like, a 10, and she did, you know, she took kind of a role of Weir, in her own way, and if you've listened to what I said to any time of when Naikari played as one of two strikers on pitch, I don't like that she is the one, like, supposed to be a box striker there. I was scared of that, okay? And seeing both Olga and Atenea on that lineup sheet, even though, to be fair to Olga, she did not do those random crosses, but I was scared that both she and Atenea would just keep sending crosses in. Luckily, that wasn't the case, but there were other factors for why that wasn't the case, not because they didn't want to, just because we were shut down by it. But yeah, we'll get to that later. But yeah, just a lot of worries with that lineup, because I just knew there would be a lack of synergy there. I mean, Naikari, who hasn't played in 2 months, a minute in those 2 months, and then Mila, who has not played the entire season, like not getting more than 10 minutes, then after the last international break, getting like 3 starts. You know, they just didn't play together since last season, basically. And I knew there would be that lack of synergy. And really only kind of connection on pitch that I could see could potentially happen was Maite to Naikari, but again, also questionable because I didn't see anything around them that could, you know, connect to them. So yeah, just a very worrying lineup overall. A very, very messy one as well. But as we get into the game later on as well with the subs, I think that he was just trying to play the players who are leaving or who haven't played in a while. And yeah, but for the lineup, I think that's all I have to say.
Yeah, so obviously the point about synergy always stands when you keep making a lot of changes, because you had a fixed 11 sort of before that worked, that knew how to move in coordination with the other parts, but this one now doesn't, and it really showed, because the first half, I think we got absolutely dominated. You know, if you look at the possession stats at the end of the game, they would suggest that the game was tightly contested, with us having 51% of the ball and Real Sociedad having 49% of the ball. But it wasn't that, it didn't feel that way in the first half, and I don't think the stats in the first half would suggest that either, because they absolutely dominated us in the first half. We had like two shots, if I remember correctly, And both of those shots were like long range efforts or something like a, we had three, four shots in the first half, and all of them felt like they were like long range efforts. The first real effort that we had on goal came in the 19th minute with Teresa Abeira taking a long shot. Then towards the end, we got a glimpse of, you know, those crosses connecting with Moller Hansen's height and stuff like that. But overall, in the first half, Real Sociedad really dominated us with the way they were counter-pressing after they lost the ball. We weren't able to build out from the back, partly because the double pivot hadn't played together for a while, so they did not know how to move. The right back was Lucia, who hadn't played in a while, so she did not know how to position herself, how to receive and then move the ball out. And because we use our fullbacks as outlets quite frequently, that was a problem again. Our front four, now when we play with Esther and Weir in the lineup, the way we set up against the ball in a 4-4-2, it's Weir stepping out to form that double, you know, forward duo with Esther. Here what was happening was Maite would move absolutely freely. She would drift out wide. She would go anywhere. And it was Moller who was partnering Naikari up top in helping in the press. It was almost like a 4-5-1. It wasn't even a 4-4-2. Like, and Moller had to take the responsibility of stepping out and closing the other passing option when Real Sociedad are trying to build up. But that did not happen. That did not happen a lot of times. The press was so uncoordinated that they would easily find a way, a free passing option in midfield, and then build from there. It was a really frustrating watch. And once they get in the middle third, they have some really good movements in among their forwards. So, you know, you have Jensen who can drop deep slightly, drag the center backs. And then you have two players in Francie and Amayur who are really sharp at those out to in runs. Amayur in particular is really good at making those runs in behind, attacking and pinning the center back really well. And she did that a lot in this game. Like, Amayur had a pretty good game, I would say. And Amayur, we all know, even while watching for Spain and everything, she is a really, really good off-ball mover. And that adds a lot of value to her side, because she's good on the ball, first touch excellent, great composure in front of the goal. But what allows her to generate those chances is the fact that she moves so well without the ball. And that really showed here, because if you look at the goal that they managed to score in the second half, late in the second half, it's the same thing. Amayur has come centrally a bit this time. Center back picks up a long ball in behind Sousa, and it's Amayur making a perfectly timed run, showcases her great first touch, and finishes it off. So, you know, those runs in behind, those movements from their forward line, and those movements are complemented really well by Nerea. Nerea has got excellent vision. She is a great line-breaking passer. We know that. She has great long shot on her as well. She's ready to pick those balls out. She's ready to just operate in between lines and, you know, spot those runs and execute the perfect line breaking pass to pick them out. And she did that as well a couple of times. So it was a mixture of us, like our players not being on the same page a lot of times. Like, we did not have immediate passing options out the back most of the times. When the ball went out, Real Sociedad, who again were in a 4-4-2 themselves against the ball, they would press really well and suffocate us to one side, winning the ball back. Because, you know, with 4-4-2, if you get both of our center backs to play a ball in a certain direction, you can then, you know, squeeze the team there, and you can completely focus on the receiver out wide, which in a lot of case was Lucia. Because we usually go down the right when we are building up. We have usually the support of Atenea. We have Weir dropping, helping. We have one of the midfielders coming there and providing that sort of access and short passing option that are needed to build out the back. But none of that was happening here. There were a lot of problems, and Real Sociedad made sure that we could not, we felt that dominance. We felt the way they were trying to make us suffocate when we are trying to build out from the back. And what didn't help is our off-ball shape was not great either. We weren't coordinated in that either. And in the past as well, we have seen the double pivot of Tere and Zornosa not being able to cover the entire pitch laterally. That was another issue. The lack of synergy between Moller and Naikari couldn't have been more evident, because those two players did not understood their pressing assignments at all. They really looked like they were not on the same page, because, this off-ball stuff, this understanding of pressing triggers and things, this does not develop in a day unless you have a very structured style of play, and we do not have that. We have to understand that, because if you are replacing players in a structured play, then you have roles and everything. But our press worked largely because Weir has an excellent understanding of when to press and who to press, and Esther is relentless. That is what made a lot of our pressing sequences actually work. And then when we recovered the ball, we had the quality in the forward areas to capitalize on them. We missed both here. So, pretty disappointing first half. What do you have to say about the first half? Like, what did you make of the dominance that Real Sociedad have, and what did you think were the reasons for it?
Well, the first half was absolutely terrible. We had only two shots, and I think that those were our only two chances. It was both long range. One was Tere, how she usually does it, and it went just wide. I think it was a save actually as well. And then Olga from an even greater distance. So I mean that both were quite close, and those were our two best chances, but not really actual actions, that we can talk about, just players trying. But yeah, it wasn't good. The defensive game from us wasn't good at all. I only noticed Olga doing her defensive job. I remember in 24th minute there was this action that she had to push it with her head back, and the goal was empty, so I think everyone thought that that would go in, into our goal, but she was actually clearing it, obviously, but no one was there. Even Misa got out there. She was going towards Olga, so she was possibly the only defender who was good the first half. Tere was making up for a lot of stuff at the back. She was fixing our defense. To be honest, she was our deepest midfielder, and she was fixing our stuff in defense, and I thank her for that. We had so many troubles with Amayur. The Real Sociedad is actually good in long balls, something we tend to do a lot in some specific games. But in this game, we saw that Real Sociedad, when they do long balls, they actually manage to try to find someone in the box, which would usually be Amayur, and her having a great control of the ball, and I think she would get close to scoring. I remember a few times she just went over the goal as well with receiving those long balls. And yeah, it was just mostly her being, let's say, kind of invisible to our defenders' eyes, especially Kathleen was, I think, the one supposed to mark her the whole game. She was the one who was supposed to go against her, and didn't really go to plan, right? I mean, you mentioned how the goal happened. It was right behind Kathleen's back, and it was from a long ball again. So, you know, they're good at those. and this the entire half consisted of them attacking, we having troubles in defense, and of course, let's call it one of the best parts of the half. Not really a good thing. It was more like a comedy show that you could see for at least like first 30, 35 minutes. Naikari was trying to press alone, and she was calling up the players around her, Atenea and Mila, to come join her to press the center backs, because we know that in previous games with Sociedad, they tend to gift us goals. You know, if you press them enough, they will make a mistake in defense, and, you know, just that something we didn't really do later on in the game, we did in the second half, that become we did a bit more. But for the first half, Naikari was alone in that endeavor, and when you see her trying to communicate with Mila, especially Mila was right behind her, so it's like a role of 10 that Mila had on the pitch. And it just at some point you can see Naikari telling her to go one way, and then Mila telling Naikari to go, I don't know, that exact way that Naikari was telling Mila. So they were telling the exact opposite things of what the other one said to each other. It was a kind of a comedy show right there. But I did mention that when talking about the lineups, it was so evident that this lack of synergy would be very obvious. For the very obvious reason that Naikari hasn't played in 2 months, and that Mila, in this period of time where Naikari hasn't played at all, she has played consistently. So, you know, those two don't mix well in this situation, you know. But yeah, I did not have. I don't know if I could get anything else out of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so as you pointed out pretty clearly, what I was speaking about with the lack of, because, you know, you can't just train off-ball thing in a game, you know, in one game. You have to either have a very structured approach to the game, which we don't. We have spoken about this before as well. Like, tactically, we are not the most astute side in the league. Our tactics are basically a lot of hero ball bailing us out in a lot of moments, even when we play bad. So yeah, I mean, without a structured approach, you want your best players who have understood what they need to do to be together on the pitch, and that wasn't the case in this game. There were players who hadn't played with each other for in a long while, and who hadn't not just played with each other but not played at all in a while. So yeah, I mean, this was pretty much expected. I don't think anyone had a standout sort of performance. Zornosa looked offbeat. Tere was not that great. Either center backs were struggling to deal with those out to in runs or runs in behind, which is actually a really big problem, because we saw this against Levante as well. We just cannot deal with runs in behind. Whether it be due to pace or the timing, we don't have a sense of you know, keeping track of those runs, making sure that they aren't into very threatening areas, and that just keeps happening again and again. So this is something that needs to be worked upon in the training ground with regards to our defensive structure. But as is usually the case, we get dominated. Everyone watching the game feels like, oh man, this is so bad, and then we score. So second half begins. So first half was completely Real Sociedad, okay? Like, there is nothing you could possibly say, oh, Real Madrid did this good, that good. It was Real Sociedad turning the ball over, trying to create chances, not being able to create a lot of high... Like, they did create high-quality chances, mind you. Like, in the 20th minute when Amayur, I think it was again Amayur who ran in behind it was Amayur who ran in behind and then almost managed to sneak it past the goalkeeper, but it went across the goal and there was nobody at the far post to, poke it home. That was a really big chance. And that once again came from a run in behind by one of their forward players. So this theme of us being not able to deal with, even the slightest, of pacey players is going to be a big problem because there are a lot of very quick forwards in the league. We have to come up with ways to compensate for what we lack in defensive players. Like if we lack pace, you put your line behind, you put your line, defensive line back a little so that they don't have much space to run into, These are just a couple of ways we can mitigate what we are going through right now. And I think we should definitely be improving on that aspect at least. So, yeah, first half, Real Sociedad. Everyone feels they are dominating. They should have scored by now. And I agree, they should have scored. 54th minute comes in. We get a corner. Zornosa takes the corner. Naikari at the near post flicks it on. 1-0 Real Madrid, as is the case a lot of times. We go against the run and we scored. And if it had stayed that way, which it did not, because we have already discussed the goal that came in the 84th minute from Amayur. If it would have stayed 1-0, we would have been really happy. Okay, we came away winners. And, the people from the outside would think, okay, Real Madrid have once again won their game. 5 wins in a row. No losses ever since returning from the international breaks. That's great. But that's not great because we are playing absolutely terrible football at times. Most times, not even at times, like most times, which is really, I don't know, it's really... unfortunate given the squad. But yeah, Naikari scored against a former club, did not celebrate. One can understand, like, she has established herself as one of the best players for Real Sociedad. That is where she made her name. That is where she has broken records. She has won a trophy for that side. She has a lot of history with them, and it was a nice gesture to not celebrate, and it was a good goal, well taken, but it was not something special that we created from open play. But things change a little bit after that goal. But before we move further forward, talking about how that goal and game state effect came into play here, Kanita, this is your moment. Your favorite player has scored after not getting to play for 2 months, not starting for 2 months. What did you think of that goal, and what do you think that does to her confidence moving forwards? And just take it away. What you want to say about that goal?
You know, the last time she played, she actually started as well, and it was against Granadilla, and we lost that match later after she was subbed off. Also, another very bad game resulting from very bad formation. We discussed it, so I won't go into that. Just a little reminder, that was her last match on March 18th. That was her last minutes, okay? Last minutes she played until this Sociedad game. And just the whole match, okay, I looked through the numbers. She had, in total of 21 touches in 90 minutes. She played all 90 minutes against Sociedad. And 21 touches, out of which she had 7 attempted passes and 12 succeeded from that. So that's basically how it went. I mean, I was surprised to see that in first half she had like 9 touches, which was very surprising for me. Maybe a lot of those happened in the first 7 minutes, which we couldn't see, but I couldn't find more than like 5 touches in the first half anyway. That's exactly what I feared when I saw the lineup. Not just the team, the Toril himself putting up this lineup thinking she's a box striker for some reason. she's the one who should be receiving the balls from the outside and stuff. But I've said it multiple times, just go through the middle with her. When it's open play, it doesn't work from crosses or long balls. Just go through the middle with her. She'll do stuff. It's okay. I don't know. Just after 2 months of not playing, seeing her in this lineup just makes me so frustrated. Because I have, when I watched the game live, and I saw what the team was doing, they were trying to go up, and with especially on the right side with Lucia and Atenea, when I saw those two, I thought, oh, that they will definitely go for a cross, and usually from Lucia's cross as well. Like that she would try to do that, and I was just not, don't go wide, don't go do a cross, and they do a cross. When I saw Naikari open there to go through the middle with her, that is the move for her. But you know, that never happened. They never tried that exact move through the middle, even though they did have chances to do so. They had opening and it didn't happen. So in 54th minute, Lucia was actually the one running in, and she made a nutmeg there, but she was after that stopped, and that's the corner that, you know, Sonosa took. And Sonosa should be the one taking the direct corners. Okay, when we take direct corners, Sonosa is the one, especially from the right side of, well, viewing. Her direct corners, her vision is amazing. And I rewatched the goal, where Naikari was. She was right in front of the goal in the moment of Sonosa taking it. And she was actually being marked by Sarasola, and she was trying to, well, she tried to mark Naikari, but she went past her to the near post, and I was like, where are you going? But she flicked it. She, like, turned it, flicked it in that turn. I don't know how. It's not talk enough. I didn't think anything special of the goal the first time I saw it, but that was a very, very clean goal. I don't know what happened. There's not much excitement about it because she wasn't celebrating, obviously. But yeah, I mean, everyone around her did. So it's okay. Even the bench did. I mean, they showed the bench a couple of times celebrating. So yeah, we got that little part, but it's an emotional moment for her because it's likely her last game. We know how weird the season has been. Even after showing so much in this season, she was continuing to be ignored, and more and more as the season went on. And I mean, these 2 months of not getting a minute just explains it. No one knows why she didn't play a minute in these 2 months. So that factor, and the factor that she just scored against her old club, which she talks about still. She had this video on YouTube, Day in Life, and she talked about it. She talked about how she wants to win the same trophy as she did with Real Sociedad, and that she would want to help the team in it. Sadly, we know how badly this has gone in the last 2 months. And sadly, I think this was her last game that she won't be counted on in the Copa matches. But yeah, at least she got to, you know, answer that not playing for 2 months, because that she had one shot on target, and that one goal. That was like 0.1 XG, and you know, It was a good goal. It was it's not talked about enough. I don't know. I'm glad for her. I wasn't even celebrating it. I wasn't celebrating it like she wasn't either. So you know, it's the same reaction. It was just I don't know. When you know that would probably her last game and with that her last goal. I don't know, something weird. weird mixture of emotions right there. But seeing the entirety of her game, as I said, 21 touches in the whole game. That's not good. If she wasn't playing from the beginning as the like second striker, as because Mila is also a striker, but played as a role. 10 role, as I already mentioned, but you know, two strikers on pitch. Kari likes to move a bit more, likes to have a bit more freedom, but when everyone around her has that freedom, she doesn't, and it's a bit complicated. But she had such will in her to do something the whole match. Where I said in the first 30 to 35 minutes, she was running all the time alone, even trying to get others to go with her. She didn't manage, no one listened to her. She was frustrated. Like every 2 minutes, you could see her frustrated. She didn't get the ball, even though she wasn't nearly fast enough. She knew that she isn't fast enough to get those balls, but she would always try. You could see the whole match, she was trying to do something. Off the ball, because no one would actually pass to her through the middle. Like I said, the ball would actually never arrive to her. And it's good that at least this happened, that Sornosa took this corner and that it went to her. So, you know, that's a good thing. but they could have done it with her in open play as well, like I said, if they had gone with how I said should have gone. But yeah, not very frustrating for me, very frustrating all this around her. I don't know. It's bad enough that she didn't, that she had very inconsistent minutes, that she did her absolute best this season, showed so much growth, and connected with the players immediately, with Linda as well. If Taril had made this game around her and Linda, just like putting her and Linda on the lineup sheet and making the whole game around them, it would have been a different story. If he would have made the game around their connection, which was natural from the very first minute of them playing together. It was magically immediate. But he didn't. They didn't get a minute together on the pitch against Sociedad. Linda did not play at all. So I was a bit disappointed that they didn't start like that. We would probably see a much different game. But yeah. So yeah, a lot of frustration during the game. At least she got the goal, even though she wanted to do so much more. I will just mention one more thing right after Amayur's goal. So we conceded in 84th minute, and you know, to be honest, we did have it coming. It was deserved for them to get this point from us, but. A minute later, you could see, Freya just sending the ball to the front. Naikari was there on the right side, alone, running. And she had absolutely no one there. Absolutely no one there. She was running alone. Lete ran out, way out. And Naikari just pushed around her. And went on the run, sadly, that like auto pass to herself didn't succeed because she wasn't fast enough to do so. I already knew while watching it, she wouldn't get that. It was too fast for her. But it was a very good display of how much you wanted that game. And yeah, so yeah, I won't go on a further rant. It just, for me, it was very emotional. I can't imagine how emotional was it for her. So yeah, I think I'm stopping here.
Yeah, I won't add much to that goal. I think it was really well taken in terms of the technique and everything. It was really elegantly finished off. So yeah, and I mean, there's this whole emotional aspect to it as well, because she's scoring against the side that she used to play for so long, that she captained to a trophy and everything. So yeah, there's that element as well. So yeah, this goal happened in the 54th minute, and I think here is where the switch flipped, because now Real Sociedad were trailing. They needed to equalize. They did not want to finish the season on a low, so they kept pushing. That opened up spaces, and the game became a bit more end-to-end, and we thrive in these situations, so we did well in the second half. But the thing that we need to talk about in the second half, I think, is the subs. So after that really abysmal first half, what we did was we made three changes right at the start of the second half. So we brought on Esther, we brought on Freya, and we brought on Savava to replace Caroline Moller, Tere, and Olga. We brought in three players. Now Esther was on the pitch, and I think we can see the immediate sort of improvement in the way we were trying to build up and the way we were trying to press, because Esther A is relentless, as I've said before, and B, Esther likes to be on the ball. There have been multiple instances in the past where we have seen Esther drop deep as the deepest midfielder, to receive the ball, spread it out wide, and then make the run, continue the run, and offer a forward passing option. She did that here as well. Savava for Olga, I don't know, like, Savava had a decent game, but Olga too had a decent game. We were not really able to do much in the first half, but I wouldn't pin that down on Olga, so that sub made little sense to me. But taking off Tere for Preya was a really strange one. I did not understand what that served. Maybe maybe the thought process was we needed a defensive midfielder or something, but I don't know. I did not understand that move. But Esther's inclusion was the big one here, which actually like really swung the momentum in our favor. I think it helped us off the ball, and immediately getting that goal within the opening 10 minutes of the second half also helped, because game states does affect the way both teams in a game approach the remaining minutes. So that was clearly on display. And then there was a special moment for one of the youngsters in the squad. So Beatriz Velez from the academy came on in the 72nd minute, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, in the 72nd minute, and she took on the right flank. Atenea moved towards the left, and it was a good moment. Like she had a decent game, I feel. She showed what she is capable of doing. She's just 19 now. So there is a lot of, like, we have some really good players. We have spoken about this as well. We have some really good prospects in the academy. We have seen Paula Partido doing well. We have seen Carla Camacho get minutes. We have seen now Beatriz get minutes as well. And these are the players who also did well in, some of these players are players who did well in the Under-17 World Cup as well recently, which Spain won. So yeah, there are some really good talents budding in the academy, and them getting some minutes here and there, training with the first squad, really helps in them building the confidence, because there was a moment in the second half where she had just come on, she picked the ball up on the right, played a cutback to Maite takes a shot from the edge of the box and almost scores. So that could have been a really good moment, and Maite was captaining the side at that point. So you know, assisting the goal that, you know, settles the nerves and gives you a two-goal cushion would have been really nice for her. But I think she had a good performance. She showed that she can, you know, drive with the ball, attack the byline. But yeah, I mean, still young, a lot of room to develop as well. And yeah, we'll see what the future holds. But it was a nice moment for the youngster. So I was pretty stoked about her. But yeah, apart from that, I don't think the game really has anything else to discuss. Kanita, if you have anything to add about any individual performances from our side, because for me, the individual performances were really not up to the mark that we have come to expect or that we should be expecting from the players. There's a lot of reasons for it, structurally, tactically, and, you know, the lack of synergy as well. So if you have anything to add about any individual, you can do that now or we can wrap it up.
Yeah, there's one player I'd like to talk about, actually. It's Aline Gerard. She has just played her last match. I mean, she put up her stories saying from people she knows, friends and family, mentioning that the last one. So basically, it's quite confirmed she won't play the cup. So yeah, as we mentioned in the last podcast episode, that she is retiring at the end of the season, and this is, you know, she wasn't available for the last game. I mentioned that she was seen with the her arm was hurt, I guess, so she wasn't available for two games. But luckily, she was available for this one, and she did play. She started, and she did make like two or three saves. Some saves that really were phenomenal. I think both were from my Mayur. One was in the first half, one in second half. One was towards the end of the first half, actually, 46 minutes. The other one was like a powerful shot around 79th minute or something. You can look it up. And yeah, she had these like very good moments there and these saves. And I'm sad for her that we didn't get a clean sheet. But she did have a good game. It's a game that she will definitely remember. I mean, it is her last match as a professional football player anyway. And she's a huge Madridista for the longest time. And, you know, it's also, this game might have also been very emotional and special for her. So, yeah, once again, congratulations to Malin for an amazing career. And this game, her saves, yeah, I will definitely remember by knowing it was her last game. And, you know, she did make a statement right there. So, yeah, thank you, Malin. And with that, also one quick note. By confirming that Malin had started this match, Misa officially won the Zamora Trophy. So, yeah, that's all I had to add.
Yeah, so, yeah, of course, it's the last game for Malin, and hopefully we can send her off with a trophy. That would be really amazing. So, yeah, apart from that, really terrible game. I do not have any other words to put it in. I cannot be any more nice about it. Like, I think I've been really optimistic about our performances improving with time, and it hasn't really gone that way. Especially, you know, following the team post this April international break has been really frustrating, because you cannot make sense of any of the decisions that have gone down ever since that. And that is really frustrating for me, because, you know, this team has potential. This team has great players. This team has the capacity to challenge for the titles. Yeah, we might not win in Spain because we have got a super team in Barcelona. We might just fall short because we still need a step or two, like at least two steps, to reach to that depth and to that level of tactical maturity that they have. But this team is comfortably the second best squad in the league, and we should be playing like that, you know. And we haven't seen that, which is very unfortunate for me. So, yeah. Hopefully, though, we finish the season on a high. Hopefully, we have two more games to cover. But until then, we'll bring you all the tactical details. We'll bring you every single game breakdown. The next up, we have the Copa de la Reina semi-final against Athletic Club. We will be here again to talk about the game, and hopefully we will have a final to look forward to after that. But until then, a la Madrid.
A la Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.